You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Sometimes I just can't tell what's happening. Are we doing cold open?
That was a cold open.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Amino Hassan. That over there is Charlotte Wilder in her alternate location. We got a lot of fun to get to today. Hey, this is what we're going to talk about. We're talking about the Clippers. Are they still soft? Also, Michael Porter Jr. has come out and stood up for his brother. Family ties. We'll hear what he had to say. Also, Wizards, maybe they're going to stay in Washington after all. There's a lot of politics,
it's amazing,
man.
It's amazing what a little taxpayer money will do for a person. I mean,
yep. Plus, Kelly Oubre doing his best half-baked impersonation. Except he didn't call anybody cool. We'll explain a little bit on that, but let's start with this guy Draymond Green, man. Charlotte, he got ejected again. He got ejected in the first quarter again. The only player in the last 20 seasons to get ejected twice in the first quarter of the same season. His 19th career ejection, which places him second place behind only Rasheed Wallace. He was arguing a call with Ray Acosta, the official, and just wouldn't stop. And then he got it, you know, got the heave-ho, driving Steph Curry to an emotional brink, perhaps?
I really think he was crying, and I don't blame him because Draymond is arguing a call on Steph's behalf. And Steph is like, he's shaking his head as Draymond's doing it. He's pushing Draymond away with the back of his hand. He's like, Draymond keeps going. Honestly, I mean, it looked to me like Draymond was trying to get ejected because the ref didn't toss him at first.
Yeah.
He tossed him once Draymond kept going and mouthed what looked to be not the savoriest of things to call a person.
Golly G. Willikers?
What?
Did he say Golly G. Willikers?
Yeah, he did. Golly G. Willikers, which refs famously hate. And then just walked to the locker room. And I was like, at some point, you sort of run out of things to say.
Again, his passion, his living on the line between controlled rage and just absolute implosion. That's kind of what makes him special. What makes him a great competitor, what makes him a great defensive player. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand how you can get that mad 4 minutes into a game. Like, usually it's an accumulation of like, oh my God, what a terrible call. What have you been doing? Like there's no part of him that's just like, that call sucked, but let's just keep going. The night is young.
He's got
no version of that.
And that's why it seems to me like it's almost he's like a powder keg. It's like there's something, I don't want to psychoanalyze from afar, But if I were to, it feels like there's something about the end of this dynasty, of this career, because they are much closer to the end than the beginning, that just he's on the edge in a way. He used to be on the edge in a way where it was like, great, this is fueling your game and this is getting your teammates revved up. But now he's on the edge in a way where it feels like he is tipping into selfishness, as evidenced by Curry's reaction.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, given the time, it just, there's no part of this that says, oh, I kind of get it. I'm be honest, I don't get it. And by the way, post game, Steve Kerr said he deserved to get ejected. Like, there was no part of anybody for the Warriors talking that was like, well, you know, conciliatory or even defending him. It was just like, yeah, get his ass out the game if you're going to act like that, which is weird. Yeah. And like you said, Steph's reaction. And Steph, I felt like the whole night, was he himself was on an emotional edge. You see when he hit that shot, that nil in the coffin shot over Jalen Suggs late, his bye-bye celebration was, dare I say, slightly unhinged. You know, like the night-night celebration, excuse me, was, he's almost like shaking. And then he gets back to the bench and assaults a chair.
When he kicked those chairs.
There's an emotional kind of frustration that's boiling over for him.
That's exactly the word I was going to use. I mean, when I saw him crying, or what appeared to be crying, I was like, I completely
sweat.
Get it.
It was sweat.
I get that, like that. Yeah, the sweat that got into his eyes. Like, but that's such a human reaction when you're frustrated, when you've been dealing with the same thing, not just for the season, but in some ways for years. And what was interesting to me is that Steph has always been so good about not betraying any emotion when it comes to Draymond. Like, Draymond gets ejected, Steph's like, okay, back to work. This was the first time that I had seen Steph not publicly be able to, even with his body language, like, stand up for his teammate.
Charlotte, have you ever exited a place of employment or any other work event by just outright just on multiple people there in their face, letting them know how you really feel?
Yeah, actually.
You have?
I was 21 and I was working at this summer camp, and the board was this group of like old white dudes who were being really, who just were like obnoxious to my staff. And so I asked to have a meeting at the end of the summer. And we all sat down in a circle and they started telling me why I was wrong, and I tried to talk, and one of them like hit a gavel on the side of his chair and said, I motion we don't listen to Charlotte anymore. And I stood up and I was like, you are all, and I can't even remember what I said because I was in a rage blackout, but my chair tipped over and I went one by one point, and then I walked out and called my dad, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if we can go back to the Rockport Boat Club anymore. It felt awesome.
Wow.
Felt awesome.
That's pretty cool. Believe it or not, I've never done that.
I have not done that since I was 21, but it was a rush. And so I understand what Kelly Oubre Jr. was doing last night. I mean,
yeah, he was upset about a couple of no calls at the end of the game. One of them was led to a jump ball where he drove past Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard rode him with his offhand in his lower back, and then pinned the ball in a wedgie, shout out to No Dunks. Right there, the ball got stuck, so it was a jump ball. It should have been a foul because Kawhi Leonard was, as I said, pushing him with his left hand in his lower hip the whole time. And then the second call, as he drove past James Harden and rose up, I believe it was Paul George who tried to maintain verticality and got a lot of contact, which after the game, the refs said probably should have been called a foul. We're waiting on that last 2-minute report. Yeah, that's a cool ass story, Charlotte. Man, like I've never had that happen. The closest I had was my last year when I was with the Suns. Mm-hmm. I was miserable. I was like, I can't wait to get out of here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I kept waiting. I kept playing Powerball because I was like, this is what I need to happen. I need to win Powerball. And I swear to God, this was going to be my plan. My plan was I was going to hire Usher. I was going to win Powerball, and I was going to hire. I would go to Usher and said, I don't care how much it costs. I need you to fly in, bring with you like a little marching band or whatever, march into the offices. I will scan you in, go to my boss's office, and I need you to sing, I f***ing quit. Hit high notes, have the drummers do the drums and stuff. And then I would walk in and I'd be like, and then I would leave. That was my dream. And if anyone wins Powerball and wants to quit their job, if you want to do that, absolutely go ahead. Just remember, shout your boy out. Just say, hey, I was watching Oddball, and Amin told Charlotte how he would read people their rights on the way out the door as he quit a job.
I love it. I support it wholeheartedly.
The amount of planning I devoted to that, like figuring out who's his business manager, how can I get in contact? Like, it was all types of man. And I was like, the route, I was planning the route. Like, okay, I'm going to have them park in here and they're going to park on the fourth level because then they don't have to take an elevator. They can just go right up. Like, I had this whole thing mapped out. The route they would take inside the building so the maximum number of people in cubicles would be like, is that Usher? And they would get up and like follow and see. Man, dare to dream.
All right, Amin, we've got an update on the betting situation scandal. Jontay Porter is in a little bit of trouble. He's under investigation for betting irregularities. Mm-hmm. And his very famous and very rich brother, Michael Porter Jr., of the world champion Denver Nuggets, came out in defense of his brother. He said, I've known my brother my whole life, as most people who are brothers are often want to do. He said, I know what type of dude he is, and I know he's excited to play basketball, and I highly doubt he would do anything to put that in jeopardy.
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I love the love he shows for his brother. I wish he had talked to a PR person first, because I highly doubt leaves open like, you know, like, I don't think he'd do something like that. Instead of saying, my brother would never do something like this. Like, if it was my brother, I'd say, my brother would never do something like this. I would say, I highly doubt it. Like, I don't. Like,
The only thing worse, though, Amin, is that what if he did talk to a PR person and the PR person was like, it is so likely that he did this that you got to leave a little room for doubt.
And then he goes on to say later on in that same kind of statement. So it's a part of the game now. He's talking about gambling. And I think it's obviously a dangerous habit. It's a dangerous vice for all people, for people. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. So I think that even though it is a thing, we as players just have to accept that. We get paid a lot of money to play this game. And I know these people, these fans, they want us to make some money as well. Like, that doesn't help your brother right there. It's like, money's the root of all evil. It happens all the time, and it's everywhere, and it's a dangerous thing for people. But wait, hold on. Wait. It's supposed to be like, yo, these things are separate. We don't get affected by it. Like, I don't know.
He lost the plot. He lost the plot big time.
He
should have ended it and been like, money is the root of all evil. I have a lot of it, and thanks for listening.
That's what I would do. Like, look, here's the thing. There's nothing that he could say that would incriminate him, right?
Yes.
Like, so if I were him, this is Michael Porter, I'm sorry that your family's going through this, but I'm going to try to help you out here. Charlotte, you be the media. I'm Michael Porter Jr. Ask me about my brother involved in a gambling allegations.
Charlotte Wilder here, Metalark Media. Michael, some really tough allegations coming out of a recent situation involving your brother Jontay and the Toronto Raptors. Do you have any comment?
It's ridiculous, unfounded, and to be honest with you, quite frustrating that the league decides to get in bed with gambling, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I love it. Obviously, the added money brings in more attention and more money for everybody in the league. Having said that, my brother is not the type of guy that does this sort of stuff. He has no need to, Charlotte. Why would he do it? How would that be a need for him? Have you seen my contract? Go ahead, look it up on Spotrac. I'll get paid over here. The Porter family does not need your little a couple of dimes here and there from some shady people in back alleys. Next question.
I was pretending to hold a microphone, and then I realized I had a
microphone.
Real microphone. Yeah. I always thought it was Spot Rack.
I don't know how.
Anyway, great, great, great statement. I mean,
firing because I could say, look, I guarantee my brother didn't do this. And then it comes out he did it. I'm like, I was wrong. It's not like, okay, now you're going to jail too. Like, no!
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln?
Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight, you might have not, and that's okay. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you've got to listen to Six Trophies, where Shea and Jason serve up the biggest moments from around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington in Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some ... but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus, a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head-scratching moments around the NBA. This playoff season, you'll want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. We got a rapid fire bet the show for you today, folks. This is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. I mean, I've been in a betting mood. I want you to read these to me, and I want to figure out where I'm going to put my money.
Okay, here we go. Got two bets. Number one, for the end of the regular season, we'll see another 50-point game from a player. And we've seen 15 of them so far this season from 10 different players. Giannis, Embiid, Luka, Devin Booker, and Tyrese Maxey all have multiple 50-plus point games this season. The wager, are you willing to have to walk 50 flights of stairs in the Elsner? If you win, we're going to purchase a star in the galaxy to be named after you because you may not be putting up 50 yourself, but hey, you're a star too. If you lose, you have to do some combination of 50 flights of stairs in the Elsner with a minimum of 20 flights up. They have to begin and be completed within 24 hours. And yes, we're going to film it. That sounds awful. The other bet is the Bucks will not finish with the 2 seed in the East. The 10 games remaining, the Bucks are 2 games ahead of the Knicks for the 3, 2.5 ahead of the Cavs in 4th, and 4 games ahead of the Magic in 5th. The remaining schedule for the Bucks: at Pelicans, at Hawks, at Wizards, Grizzlies at home, Raptors at home, Knicks at home, Celtics at home, Magic at home, at OKC, at Orlando. Yikes. Are you willing, the wager, to take a trip to the Oddball doctor's office? If you win, the producers of Oddball will work on getting you an honorary doctorate of humane letters from a college to be named later. Finally, you'll have done something to make your parents proud. If you lose, the Oddball doctor will see you and give a full analysis of what ails you and what you need to do to get back to being the best of you. I feel like we're mixing a lot of metaphors there. Charlotte, this is a pretty straightforward one for me. Not even about the bet. It's just about what the wager is.
Yeah, that last one.
Yeah, like, why would you? Ooh, I got a star named after me versus having him walk 50 flights. Absolutely not.
I also do think that, well, I don't know. The end of that Bucks schedule is looking pretty tough. So there is a chance that they, but yeah, you know what? Let's take the last one because I'm not trying to walk 50 flights of stairs. The Bucks will not end up with number 2 in the East. Also, this will be a great soundbite if they do.
All right, Charlotte, update quickly a story that we've been following all year long. The Wizards now looks like they're going to stay in Washington, D.C. They signed a letter of intent for a $500 million plus renovation of Capital One Arena, which, again, I don't know why that wasn't the thing to begin with. Or maybe I do by the time we finish talking about the story. The other thing is, in Virginia, the deal completely collapsed. The governor wanted this. He's blaming the Democratic-led legislature for doing party politics to basically, for lack of a better phrase, cock block his dreams of this, you know, complex in Virginia. I'll be perfectly honest, no offense to the people of Alexandria, Virginia, but I think Washington, D.C. needs the Wizards more than Alexandria, Virginia does, so I'm glad they're staying.
I think that they were planning to stay in D.C. the whole time. I think that, Ted Leonsis found in Glenn Youngkin a very, very willing political collaborator to say, hey, come to Virginia. It's really white outside. I mean, nice outside. You know, you'll have beautiful parking that you can charge people $75 for. We can have a hotel that starts at $750 a night. You can come here and all of the people of Virginia will come to your games, which they wouldn't probably. No, DC needs this. I don't love the $500 million-plus for funding, but, you know, if that's what old Ted got out of playing a little political, 30, then, yeah. You know, great. I don't think that this has endeared him. He was not at Capital One recently, no. But they're staying.
Yeah. No, he definitely did the little, I'll flirt with you and like get this other person jealous. And they're like, oh, I want to go out with you. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go out with you. Yeah. So the person they want to go out with to begin with. It's you know what it is? The 90s are back. Like we had this little era of like owners saying, you know what? I'm paying everything 100% out of pocket, right? Like that's what Steve Ballmer's done. That's what the Warriors ownership with Joe Lacob and Peter Guber have done. Like it became the thing like, hey, we're paying the whole thing out of pocket. And here comes Ted Leonsis and says, bring me the 90s back. Will we flirt about moving? And then someone says, no, here's taxpayer money. And then like, we're staying.
Meanwhile, Oklahoma City is like, I see you, my friend.
Yeah, I like the 90s. That's what Oklahoma City's like, 90s are cool.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. That was a good way to do things. All right. I mean, Chandler Parsons recently called out Mike Greenberg, who said that UConn could make the NBA playoffs, which, okay.
Preposterous.
Parsons said the best player on UConn wouldn't play on the Detroit Pistons right now, which is meant as an insult because the Pistons are bad. One of my least favorite arguments in sports media is, could this college team beat this professional team?
It's my favorite because the answer very easily is no. It does not matter who. The answer is no.
There's no conversation.
Yeah. That's why I like it. It's nice and short. But would the best player on UConn play on the Detroit Pistons right now? That's a lot more interesting, right? Because on the one hand, for a regular bad team, I would say no. And to be clear, Mike Greenberg said that UConn, because UConn destroyed Northwestern, which is, I guess, his alma mater, he's like, they'd make the Eastern Conference playoffs. And my response on the Levitard show was that the Wizards would beat them by like 70. Jordan Poole would look like the greatest player ever if they played against, you know, the
Michael Wizards. Jordan Poole playing against UConn.
Pretty much. So the question becomes, like, would one of their best players play on one of the worst teams in the league? Now, there's a couple of things. Number one is every year we see the best players from college basketball play on NBA teams.
I was
going
to say, isn't that called the draft?
Exactly. The NBA draft. It's this thing that we do every year. I don't know if Chandler Parsons has heard of it. Right now, I'm looking at the big board on one of my favorite websites, tankathon.com. Excellent, excellent website, especially for everything tank related, right?
I would imagine.
They've got in the top 30 right now, they've got two UConn players. Stephon Castle as a 10th best prospect, Donovan Klingon as a 12th best prospect. So already we've got two guys there. And then you go further down, they've got 50, 57, and 60 are all UConn players, right? So they got five players in the top 60. Charlotte, remind me how many draft picks there are in an NBA draft?
60.
There you go. So they got five players in the top 60.
I was like, yeah. Are you trying to trick me?
Yeah, no.
I'm not good at math.
There's no banana in the tailpipe, right? So five players in the top 60, including two who are lottery level players. Mm-hmm. Need I remind you that the Pistons were playing Isaiah Livers and Killian Hayes at some point during the season?
No.
I'm just saying, those guys are playing heavy rotation minutes. So I disagree with Chandler Parsons. Yes, they've got at least one guy who would play for the Pistons. I don't think the Pistons would be any good. Maybe that's the point. But in terms of having NBA caliber players, they objectively have NBA caliber players.
Not only could they play for the Pistons, but statistically, some of them probably have a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
Oh, God, can you imagine if Detroit just gets, like, the worst lottery pick? Oh, my God.
Oh, you mean like they get somehow get bumped all the way down? They're kind of guaranteed, given how bad they are, they're guaranteed to have at least, I want to say, the sixth pick? Or the like, there's a floor for how low you can go. So the three worst teams are guaranteed that they can't go lower than four. Because even if a bunch of teams jump up, you know, if like 12, 13, and 14 all jump up, all that happens is the three worst teams all get pushed down. So the worst team would have four, the second worst team would have five, the next worst would have six. Right, because everything.
You know,
else
when is, I found out, I mean, when that? I found out that the NBA draft lottery was that it was a televised event of ping pong balls to decide to pick who gets to pick when, I was like, well, I love sports.
Well, I'll take even one better. It's not even a televised event of the ping pong balls to pick who gets picked when. It is a televised event of person reading the results of the ping pong balls that happened behind the scenes that were not televised. Out who gets to pick when. That's next level layering
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I kind of miss it when it was just like right there, like kind of like the lottery.
Well, I wish they did that. That was my favorite part. It's very satisfying.
The reason why they don't do it that way is because the lottery is weighted in such a weird way. There's like 1,000 ping pong balls and you got certain numbers. And the way they do it is they assign combinations to each team. So you've got these combinations, and that's how you have like 100 chances. How do we know that they have 100 out of, it's not 100 ping pong balls, it's like 100 different combos. And what ends up happening a lot is they do it and they get, all right, combo number one, all right, you're 14, you're whatever. But then there are combos that come up, it's like, oh, this team is already placed. So I've heard stories where a team literally won the top three picks. They got one, they got two, and they got three. But obviously, like, once you've already got one,
right?
Oh, we're not going to give you two and three. Also, your combination gets thrown out, and they go back at it again.
Wow.
You know what we should do?
I was just going to say,
every year they have media people who are allowed to be inside. You can't take a phone. You can't take a camera or anything. You can only write down, pen and paper, old school style, what you see and then come back and report back out. Charlotte, I want you to be the person who goes behind the scenes and tells us how Willy Wonka's machine works.
Oh, my God. That would be a dream come true. I mean, I would also, I feel like I'd have to practice math before.
No, you don't I have feel to, like I would. You just have to just do what you already do well, which is observe and report.
Thank you so much. Okay, I'm up for the challenge.
I'll get NBA. On it right now. Hello, Adam Silver? Have I got a proposition for you?
Hello? Yeah, he's right here. Why?
I could be in Santa Monica right now, enjoying the beach.
What? No, Santa Monica said you're not allowed there. I'm talking to her.